إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, this is our 20th lecture. And we will be reading from chapter 17 from the book Ta'zim al-Salat, The Great Importance of Prayer. Its magnificent and excellent status, exalted status and rank in the life of a Muslim, by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr Hafidhumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our topic for tonight, Fi Salati Ma'unatun وَمُزْدَجَرٌ. Yani in salat there is a ma'una, help, assistance and aid for the Muslim in doing good, and a muzdajar, yani that which will help the Muslim to prevent or to restrain or suppress, yani the inclination to do evil. And this indeed is of great importance. And the Shaykh has given a number of points that if a person will take it to heart, inshallah, will help them tremendously. Before we look at the topic for tonight, we want to review quickly the study guide number 19 from last week and some of the important points that we discussed with these questions that we have placed for the topic last week. The first question, memorize the hadith, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which indicates that a person's reward for salat may be reduced to half or even less than half. Naam, Abu Jamil.
According to Ammar ibn Yasir, he said that سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَا يُصَلِّي الصَّلَاةَ يَكْتُبُ لَهُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا
عُشْرًا. مَا يُكْتَبُ.
مَا يُكْتَبُ.
مَا يُكْتَبُ.
مَا يُكْتَبُ.
مَا يُكْتَبُ.
مَا يُكْتَبُ. مَا يُكْتَبُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا عشرها وتسعها وثمنها وسبعها وثلثها وخمسها وربعها وثلثها ونصفها.
جزاك الله خير. يعني ذا حديث بعمار ابن ياسر رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, in which he reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that a person would perform a prayer and there would not be written for him, yani recorded for him, of reward from that prayer except 1/10 of it, or 1/9, or 1/8, until he said 1/2 of it. And this hadith indeed is a hadith that we have heard before. It is of great importance, and it is worthy of reflection upon it, that a person realize that when they pray, they are not guaranteed to get the full reward of that prayer unless they perform it in the way that is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number 2, discuss the primary factor which determines what amount of a person's prayer will be recorded or rewarded. What is the primary factor that determines that a person will only get 1/10 of the reward of their prayer, 1/9 or 1/8 or 1/2 or whatever? What is it? Naam, ya Abu Sa'id. Fighting off the whispers of shaitan. Naam. Fighting off the whispers of shaitan. Can anybody add to that? Yani, naam.
The amount that you have pondering,
might brain. Yani, the amount of the prayer that they pondered upon, reflected upon, were conscious of. Yani, that they performed with consciousness, with presence of heart and mind. Naam.
Khushu.
And khushu'. Yani, the statement of Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, which is the basis of the Shaykh's point here. Does anybody remember what Abdul Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said? يعني ليس لك من صلاتك إلا ما أقلت منها. يعني that you will not have anything from your salat except that which you performed with consciousness. أقلتها, meaning that you were conscious of it, you were aware of it. You understood, you comprehend what you were doing in the prayer. You were aware of what you were saying, of what you were doing, of the fact of your being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that you are in communion with Allah. Yani this awareness, this consciousness in the prayer is what determines whether or not a person will get the full reward of their prayer, only 1/10 of it, or 1/9 of it, or 1/8 of it. لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنْ صَلَاتِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَقَلْتَ مِنْهَا. Except that which you are conscious of, aware of, that you have presence of heart and mind during the performance of the prayer. How often do we find ourselves, our own selves, in prayer, realizing that we haven't been paying attention, that we were not reflecting, that we were not conscious of what we were saying or what we were doing in the prayer? Maybe a whole rak'ah may go by, or two or three, some people the whole prayer, and the end, after the end they realize they had no presence of heart or mind. Question number 3, mention the 2 things that will assist a praying person in achieving the fullest reward for one's prayer. 2 main things that the author mentioned. Abdullah. Striving of the worshipper, making an effort to be conscious of understanding and knowing and being aware of what you're saying or doing. Yani the effort that you make. The first thing is the quwwatul muqtadi. Yani the strength with which the person strives and makes the effort in their prayer to perform it the way it's due to be performed. And the second of them? And the second of them, Musa? Da'af al-shagil. Yani weakening the things that distract you in the prayer. Meaning struggling to resist and to repulse those things that distract you in the prayer, that take your mind and your heart away from where it's supposed to be in prayer. The things that distract you, the whisperings of shaitan that make you think about and reflect upon and daydream over while you're in prayer, something other than what you should be doing. Question number 4, discuss 3 areas in which the praying person must strive if one is to maintain full consciousness in the prayer. 3 areas the Shaykh mentioned, very, very important areas. Give me one, Abu Jamil.
The verse is to understand what the Abd is saying and doing.
To understand. Yani what you are saying and what you are doing. To understand what you are saying and what you are doing. Not just say and do. You're moving and you're saying something. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're doing. Now, second one?
To ponder
and reflect. To contemplate. Not just to understand the meaning of what you are saying and what you're doing, but to contemplate over, to reflect upon the ayat that you are reciting from the Quran or that are being recited, and the dhikr that's being yani mentioned, and the dua, yani reflecting on these things. Now, Abdullah? And perhaps this is the most important of all of them, to remind yourself, to be conscious and aware, to call to mind that you are in communion, munajin lillahi, that you're in communion, you're speaking confidentially, privately, intimately with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salat. Naam, when you're in salat, you're in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are essential matters that a person knows, ya'qil, that he knows, is conscious, aware, understand, comprehends what one is saying and what one is doing, and that you reflect upon and contemplate over. Not just recite it, I know the meaning of these words. In Arabic, perfectly, I know the meaning. But you don't reflect upon them. When you say, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, are you reflecting upon the fact that you are saying, I bear witness, truthfully from your heart, knowing what you are saying, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abduhu wa rasuluhu. He's the slave, servant, worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is rasuluhu, his messenger. What does this mean, he's rasuluhu? A person should be thinking about it. Don't say, he's abduhu wa rasuluhu. I know what those words mean. But when you are praying and you saying them, are you reflecting upon them? Allah, may Allah help us. We are in need, for sure. We are in need. Yani, this requires that a person take their time when they pray. This prayer is not a race. We are not in a musabaqa. Who can finish the prayer fastest? Who can pray the fastest? A person has to take their time when you're in prayer. You're in communion with Allah. Where are you racing to? Where are you going to? That is more important than what you are doing right now in this prayer. This is for every one of us to think about. This is not for anybody in particular. This is for you. As the brother used to tell us, Brother Shamsuddin, when he used to say something that people might be offended by, he said, take it personal. He didn't say, don't take it personal. He said, take it personal. I'm talking about you. Naam. Take it personal. Question number five, the extent to which a person experiences the halawatu salat, the sweetness of prayer, is determined by one's strength of... Somebody in the back. Somebody in the back. Abu Sa'id. The strength of a person's iman. It determines how much a person will taste and enjoy the sweetness of the salat. The strength of their iman. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said what about the salat? وَجُعِلَتْ كُرُتَعَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَجُعِلَتْ كُرُتَعَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ يعني the coolness of my eyes, the comfort, the peace and tranquility, the happiness and joy of my heart and my soul is in salat. Allah made it to be in the salat. Why is the salat so enjoyable, so comforting? Because of the strength of his iman. Person has weak iman, they don't find comfort in salat. They don't enjoy it at all. It's a burden. So this means that we have to strengthen our iman so that we can enjoy the salat and not just feel like we have to do it because we're obligated. Rather, it's something that you enjoy. You find sweetness in it, pleasure in it. You don't want to come out of it. Question number six. Mention some of the most important causes or means of ziyadatul iman, increase of iman. Some of the most important causes or reasons of ziyadatul iman. Abu Jamil.
Gaining beneficial knowledge.
Naam. What else? Abu Sa'id.
Pondering over the creation of Allah.
Pondering over the creation of Allah. Pondering over the creation of all the things that Allah created. Now, Abdullah.
Striving and struggling to perform righteous good deeds.
Purely for the sake of Allah alone. Like what kind of deeds? Yani the Shaykh categorized them into three categories. The what?
The heart.
The deeds of the heart. Uh-huh. And?
The
deeds of the tongue. And the limbs, the deeds, the limbs of the body, naam. And the knowledge that he said, yani seeking beneficial knowledge, he mentioned how many areas? Five. Somebody tell me one of them. Huh? Ma'rifatullah. Okay, ma'rifatullah, yani. Ma'rifatu asma wa sifatillah, naam. Knowing Allah's names and attributes, naam. Another one? The first of them, he said reciting the Quran and pondering over it, naam. What else? The story, the life history of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reflecting upon his life. And this is a source of increase of iman. When a person reads the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with reflection, with contemplation, with examination, for sure their iman has to be increased. When they see the life of this man, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Messenger of Allah. Naam.
Reflecting upon the beauty of Islam.
Reflecting upon the beauty of Islam, the beautiful aspects of the deen of Islam. Naam. This shows a person the perfection of Islam and its superiority over every other way of life, which is indeed a source of increase of iman. Naam. And the lives of the Salaf of this Ummah. Naam, for sure. Starting with who? The Sahaba. Reading their life, reflecting upon their lives. Indeed. There's a motivation and an inspiration in reflecting upon their lives. These are some of the sources or causes of increase of iman. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he wrote a book called The Causes or the Means of Increase and Decrease of Iman. If you haven't read it, read it. If you already read it, read it again. Read it again. Now. Question number seven. Mention five of the matters of the heart which people vary greatly and due to which some excel others. Matters of the heart in which people vary greatly and due to which some people excel over others. What are some of these matters of the heart that the Shaykh mentioned? Abu Sa'id.
Fear of Allah and hope in Allah.
Naam.
Knowing Allah.
Naam.
Loving Allah.
Having awe, being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Khashya. Naam. Confirming, testifying to the truthfulness of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have informed us of. Naam. In the revelation. Naam. Establishing the deen purely for the sake of Allah. Ikhlas. Yani purifying the deen, making it for Allah alone. Establishing ikhlas. Naam. These are some of the things that the Shaykh mentioned, and there are many others. These are some of the most important of them. Al-ikhlas in this deen. Knowing Allah and establishing the deen for Him alone. Loving Allah, fearing Allah, having awe of Allah, having hope in Allah. These are things that people differ greatly in. So
Some people don't have any ma'rifah billah. They don't know Allah at all. They are Muslim. They don't know about Allah at all. They don't know His names. They don't know His sifat. They don't know His af'al. They don't know anything about Allah. And other people do. Some people, love of Allah is weak. They love their self more. The proof of it is their action, their behavior, their lifestyle. Some people don't fear Allah at all. They do what they want to do. They have no fear whatsoever. And these are matters that we are in need of giving attention to. Because indeed, yani, the one who gives attention to any of these matters, this will be a source of yani, his nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Discuss the two affairs in which one must develop consciousness of being in need of Allah. The two affairs in which one must develop consciousness of being in need of Allah more than one is in need of food and drink. In which two areas? Naam. Fadda. Who's that all the way in the back? Oh, Sali. Naam. Naam. And he's the one to call upon. Yani, a person has to develop this consciousness that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone that one is in need of worshipping more than you need anything else. You are in need to worship Him. And to call upon Him to help you to worship Him, because you will never be successful in worshipping Him unless He helps you without His help. And this is the meaning of that keeps coming back again and again and again. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Being conscious of this, Allah made us repeat it in every rak'ah of every prayer. Conscious of the reality, we are in need of worshiping Allah. We will never be rectified, corrected. We will never be yani, made whole except by worshiping Allah alone. And we will never be successful in worshiping Allah alone except with His help. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Now, every time you say that, you need to stop and reflect upon it. And remind yourself that we are in need to worship Allah alone. And we are in need of His help in order to be successful in worshiping Him. May Allah grant us success in worshiping Him alone. And may He help us and aid us in every way. Ameen Ya Rabb. Question number 9. Discuss what the abundance and frequency of al-waswas, whispering of shaitan in prayer is due to. The abundance of this waswas in the prayer is due to what? Now, Adam.
Is it abundance of doubts and desires?
Doubts and desires. Ash-shubahat wa shahawat. Naam, this is two of the main things. The doubts that people have in their mind cause them to wander. And the desires, the shahawat, desires for that which is displeasing to Allah, cause a person to go astray, to get off, and allow shaitan to take them away from what they are engaged in. And after that, he said also, Naam, Abu Jamil?
Lack of ilm.
Okay, lack of, no doubt, lack of ilm. That's primary. Naam.
Love what the people have in turning to those things.
Okay. Yani, the things that people love. Yani, the heart seeking, turning away from the consciousness of Allah. Yani, focusing on Allah and being turned to what? The things that they love. Seeking the things that they love. Naam. Naam, he also said what? That from these two perspectives, the heart reflecting upon what it had before, that it loves, that it had before, reflecting on that, and also reflecting on what it desires to do, yani, in the future. But also he said with the, yani, the things that are loved, the mahbubat, the makruhat. Yani, the heart being engaged in seeking, occupied with seeking the things that it loves, and in repulsing the things that it hates. These things occupy the heart of the worshipper, and allow the whispering of shaitan to distract them from their prayer, to decrease the reward of their prayer, and maybe to yani, invalidate it completely. And the last question, describe the condition. Describe the condition mentioned by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, to which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is sarih al-iman, that is clear iman. What was the condition that they mentioned concerning this? Naam, Abdurrahman.
Thoughts about
what? Say it again?
Thoughts about shirk.
About shirk? Oh, thoughts about shirk, naam.
Hypocrisy.
Naam.
And kufr.
Naam. Thoughts about shirk, hypocrisy, kufr. Yani, these things that they said, some, one of us may, naam.
The Sahaba, they said that
Summarize.
They would find within themselves that while they are engaging in the salah, they would think of things that they wouldn't dare to speak of, and they would rather be thrown in the sky than to ever speak of.
The thoughts that came to their mind were so abominable, so outlandish, so outrageous, so frightening, so filthy, that to be thrown out of the sky would be more beloved to them than to express in words what thoughts came to their mind or to their heart. To just talk about it, not to do those things, to even express it, to say, to talk about it, to say it, it would be more beloved to them to be thrown out of the sky than to express these things in words. Thoughts that came to their mind. This is from Shaitan. Naam. So when a person has those thoughts, and they hate that they had those thoughts, it's so abominable to them, they can't even speak about it. They detest it. Their heart flees from it. This is what the Prophet ﷺ meant. This is the sarih, yani clear iman, sarih al-iman. This is a clear proof that a person has iman. Otherwise, some people, they think those thoughts, they not only think them, they make the effort to engage in them, to implement them, to act upon them. But not the person who has iman. Allahu musta'an. Tayyib. Our topic tonight is from chapter 17, from Ta'zim al-Salat, the acknowledgement, the recognition of the great importance of Salat in the life of a Muslim, its magnificence, and its exalted status. Fi Salat ma'unatun wa muzdajarun. And in the Salat, there is a help, an aid, an assistance for the believer through salat in the doing of good. And likewise, there's muzdajar, muzdajarun, yani that which suppresses or represses or enables the believer to abstain from and to repulse and to push away, yani the inclination to engage in evil. That which prevents the person from engaging in evil and indecency. The Shaykh, he begins, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, saying that As-salatu nurul mu'mineen wa-diya'u af'idatihim, that the salat is the light of the believers. If a person doesn't have salat, he doesn't have any light, they're in darkness. Wa-diya'u af'idatihim, and it is the yani the brightness that glows in their hearts. It glows in their hearts from the salat. وَهِيَ الصِّلَةُ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ. And it is the silah, yani the connection, the link between the abd, the worshipper, and his Rabb. The salat. That's enough. That's enough. It is the silah that connects the abd to their Rabb. If you don't have salat, you are disconnected. Khawas, destroyed. The destruction that there's no return from, that leads to hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ made this known through many hadith. Many hadith. Like the hadith in which he said, الْأَحْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنُهُمَ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The ahd, the covenant between us and them, that separates us from them, the disbelievers, salat. Whoever abandons it, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He has فَقَدْ definitely fallen into kufr. Because he has been disconnected from his Rabb. Or she from her Rabb. And because of this, the fact that the salah is the sila, the connection, the link between the worshipper and the Rabb. فَإِذَا كَانَتْ صَلَاةُ الْعَبْدِ صَلَاةً كَامِلَةً مُجْتَمَعًا فِيهَا مَا يُلْزَمُ فِيهَا وَمَا يُصَنُّ وَحَصَّلَ فِيهَا هُدُورَ الْقَلْبَ الَّذِي هُوَ لُبُّهَا فَصَارَ الْعَبْدُ إِذَا دَخَلَ فِيهَا إِسْتَشْعَرَ دُخُولَهُ عَلَى رَبِّهِ وَوُقُوفَهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مَوْقِفَ الْعَبْدِ الْخَاشِعِ الْمُتَعَدِّبِ. If the salat of the worshipper is salat kamil, a complete and perfect salat, that combines within it مَا يُلْزَمُ فِيهَا, that which is lazim, mandatory to be in it, the essential parts of it. وَمَا يُسَنُّ, and that which is
Yani sunnah. That's not essential, but it's from the sunan of the salat. If the salat combines this, the essential matters of the salat, the arkan of the salat, the wajibat of the salat, the shurut of the salat, and that which is sunnah, the extra things that bring about the perfection of the salat. If it combines these things, وَحَصَلَ فِيهَا هُدُورُ الْقَلْبِ الَّذِي هُوَ لُبُّهَا. And also along with that, the outward aspects, the inward aspect of the salat. Yani, the hudur al-qalb, the presence of heart and mind, which is the lub, the core, the essence of the salat itself. If a person's salat, the salat of the abd, is salatan kamila, complete and perfect salat, yani that which combines in it, that which is essential in the salat, and that which is the sunan of the salat, and he has also achieved in it hudur al-qalb, yani the presence of heart and mind, which is the lub, the core and the essence of it. فَصَارَ الْعَبْدُ إِذَا دَخَلَ فِيهَا إِسْتَشْعَرَ دُكُولُ عَلَى رَبِّهِ. Then the abd, the worshipper, when that worshipper enters into the salat, they will experience, they will feel دُخُولَهُ, their entry upon their Rabb. وَوُقُوفَهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and they're standing in front of their Rabb. Yani the person whose salat is like this, what will they experience? They will experience their entry upon Allah, into the presence of Allah. And they're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will feel this, that they're standing in front of Allah. They won't feel that they're just standing around somewhere talking to their friends. They will feel that they're in the presence of Allah, that they are addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will feel that they are standing in front of their Rabb. The standing, the mawqif of the abd al-khashi al-muta'addib. Yani the abd that is humble in humble submission. Al-khashi in humble submission. Wal-muta'addib, the one who has manners. Yani the abd that has manners in front of their Rabb. This is how they will be feeling. They will feel like they are standing in front of their Rabb, like the abd that is in humble submission and well-mannered, مُسْتَحْضِرًا لِكُلِّ مَا يَقُولُهُ وَمَا يَفْعَلُهُ. Yani being conscious and aware of everything that one says and that one is doing. Yani this standing is the standing in which the person realizes they're in humble submission in front of the Rabbul Alameen. And therefore they call to mind and they are conscious of every single thing that they're saying in front of him. And everything that they're doing in front of him, they're conscious of how they're standing and how they're bowing and how they're raising their hands, not any old haphazard way. They're conscious of what they're doing. They're paying attention to what they're saying because they're standing in front of Rabbul Alameen. It's not like you're talking to anybody and you say whatever you want to say. If you're talking to somebody important that has some control over your life or the affairs of your life, you are careful and selective in what you say. You don't talk like you talk to your friend on the street. You are careful about what you are saying. So what more so? وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلَ الْعَالَى. Naam, in front of Allah Rabbil Alameen. That you will be conscious of every movement, of every word that is spoken. مُسْتَغْرِقًا بِمُنَاجَاتِ رَبِّهِ وَدُعَائِهِ. Engrossed, yani completely engrossed in one's, yani intimate communion with your Rabb and your dua of him. Yani this is what is experienced by the abd when they perform a salat al-kamila, the complete and perfect salat that includes the outward aspects of prayer as well as the inner aspects of prayer, the khushu' and the presence of heart and mind, which is the core and really the essence of the prayer. They will feel that they have entered into the presence of their Rabb, that they are standing before him in the standing of the humble, obedient, well-mannered slave, servant, being conscious of everything that one is saying and everything that one is doing, and being engrossed. You know, like you see a person, they're listening to someone, they're saying something so powerful that their eyes are almost popping out, and their neck is stretching forward to hear every word. Yani, the person is engrossed in what they're hearing. So the abd, when they're in salat, they're engrossed in what they're saying and what they're doing in the presence of their Rabb, because they realize that this is the most important moments of their life. They are completely engrossed in it, in this activity. فَلَا جَرَمْ أَنَّهَا مِنْ أَكْبَرَ الْمَعُونَةِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْفَضَالِ وَالْخَيْرَاتِ وَعَظَمَ الْمُزْدَجَرِينَ عَلَى الْفَوَاحِشِ وَالْمُنْكَرَاتِ. So there is no doubt The person who performs this prayer, there's no doubt that this type of prayer performed in this manner will be of the greatest aid. Yani akbar al-ma'una. The greatest thing that will aid one in doing every type of virtuous deed and every type of goodness. Al-fadal wal-khayrat. And it will be the greatest yani suppressor, restrainer, preventer of every fawahish. Yani every type of great indecency and every munkar, every evil and wicked deed that is rejected by the nature of the human being as well as the mind that is sane, like kufr and shirk, every evil and wicked deed. This type of salah is what enables the person to do good and to refrain from evil. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْحُضُورَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ يُوجِدُ لِلْعَبْدِ فِي قَلْبِهِ دَاعِيًا يَدْعُوهُ إِلَى امْتِثَالِ أَوَامِرِ رَبِّهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِيهِ. Yani, and this is because that type of hudur, this type of presence of heart and mind when a person is in prayer, not with their mind, their thoughts roaming all over the place. This type of presence of mind in the salat brings into being in the heart of the praying person a da'i, one that calls that person who's praying to compliance with the commands of his Rabb and to avoiding his prohibition. Yani this presence of heart and mind, this type of salat, produces in the heart of the human being a da'i, one who's inviting and calling the person to comply with the commands of Allah, calling you to comply with the commands of Allah and to avoid his prohibitions. Inside of your heart, there will be one calling you. Instead of that shaitan that's calling you to do evil, or that nafs al-mara bisu, that lower self that's calling you to do evil, there will be in the heart a da'iyah calling you to do good and warning you against disobedience of your Rabb. And this is the core of the chapter. Yani, if a person takes it to heart, inshallah, will benefit. You will not pray the same after reflecting upon these meanings that the Shaykh has given here. You will not pray the same after this if you take it seriously. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Yani Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 45th Ayat. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. And seek assistance, help and aid and support by means of what? As-sabr, patience, and by means of as-salat. And we're talking about salat here. إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. And indeed, this is very difficult except for the one who has خُشُوع الْخَاشِعِينَ, the one who is humble and submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars differ about what it is that's difficult. Some of them said, yani, that to comply with this instruction, yani, to seek assistance through patience and prayer is difficult except for the people who have khashya, who have khushur. And some of them said that it means, yani, the performance of the salat or the, yani, this doing it correctly is, yani, something that's difficult except for the people who have khushur. The important thing here in this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to seek assistance through two things, the sabr, and most importantly for our topic, as-salat. Salat is a means of help and assistance for the believer. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 153rd ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. O you who believe, seek assistance through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with those who have patience. And again, in this ayat, yani, we are reminded that those who believe, if they have any problem, any difficulty in fulfilling the commands of Allah, avoiding His prohibitions, and doing good, and earning the pleasure of Allah, then seek assistance through sabr and through as-salat. Indeed, the salat is a means of help for the believer. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Yani, those who have patience in fulfilling the commands of Allah. It might be difficult. You have to have sabr. those who are patient with avoiding the prohibitions of Allah. It could be difficult, so a person has to have sabr. They have to be able to control themselves, to restrain their nafs, to make it do what Allah has commanded and to avoid what Allah has prohibited. And the scholar said that sabr is of three types. Sabr in obedience to Allah, sabr in avoiding disobedience to Allah, and sabr with those things that Allah has decreed. Yani the aqdarillah al-mu'lima. Those things that are difficult, that Allah has decreed, the calamities and hardships and difficulties that befall a person in this world, being patient with that. And finally, the Shaykh mentions the third ayat from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 45th ayat. And this ayat the Shaykh discusses in what remains of this chapter in some detail before ending it. And he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And that's how he quotes it. But we like to look at the beginning of the ayat because of its great importance, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُتْلُ مَا أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. أُتْلُ, yani recite what has been revealed to you, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Recite that which has been revealed to you of the book. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the salat. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. And indeed, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest force, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are doing. He knows what you do. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman, let's see how time is. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he has given some great yani tafsir for this ayat, and perhaps we don't have time to look at it, but yani it is worth going back to. A person should look at it. From amongst the things that he said in brief, is he said that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite, yani utlu tilawa, to recite what has been revealed to the book, it means to act in accordance with it, to follow it. Yani tala means to recite, and it also means to follow. Tala means to follow. Here the scholars of the sunnah said, yani the tilawa of the Quran here means what has been revealed to him, means to act upon it, to follow it, to act upon it, and this includes the whole of the deen. And from that perspective, yani the command to establish the salat after that is from the perspective of singling out a single part of some of the whole of something. Yani the command to recite the Quran or that which is revealed means to comply with the commands of Allah, and that includes the whole of the deen. And from amongst the whole of that deen, one part of it is the salat, and it has been singled out because of its excellence and its virtue and its great benefits. And from amongst those benefits is what is mentioned in this ayat. Indeed, the salat prohibits a person from indecencies, al-fahsha, filthy indecencies, immorality. And it prohibits a person from munkar, yani evil deeds, wicked deeds and sins. Indeed, the salat prevents a person from committing indecencies and evil. The Shaykh, he says here, he quotes here actually from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. And the first part of this tafsir, the Shaykh doesn't mention, I'm saying that you should go back if you're able to and review it. He quotes this part. He says, وَالْفَحْشَى, yani indeed, the salat, yani prohibits a person from al-fahsha and al-munkar. He says, al-fahsha is everything, كُلُّ مَا استعظم. وَاسْتُفْحِشْ, yani that which is considered to be great, tremendous, but of evil, of filth, of indecency, of shamelessness, of obscenity. Yani fahsha, the worst of the evil and indecent acts from amongst the sins, al-ma'asi allati tashtahiha an-nufus. Yani here Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he is connecting al-fahsha to the evil sins, the great, tremendous, evil, filthy, indecent acts, sins, which the nafs desires. And he connects it to what? Al-fahsha is to the great, filthy, evil desires, indecencies that's desired by the nafs. Fornication and adultery and such things like this. As far as munkar, he says, كُلُّ مَعْسِيَةٍ تُنْكِرُهَا العقول والفطر. يعني the munkar is every sinful deed, every evil wicked deed, every ma'asiyah that is rejected by the uqul and the fitr, by the minds of the people and by their nature. Yani, evil, wicked deeds that the mind of the human being without revelation rejects. That the nature, the fitrah of the human being rejects by nature. And of course the greatest of that is shirk and kufr. But it includes every filthy, evil deed that the mind automatically rejects if it is sound, if it hasn't been polluted and corrupted by the society that one grew up in when they were born upon the fitrah and then their parents made them a Christian or a Jew or a Magian. And then the Shaykh, he goes on to quote from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd in his tafsir of this ayat, and I will do the best I can, I need to complete it. He says, the perspective from which salat is that which prohibits or prevents a person from al-fahsha and al-munkar, from great indecencies and evil. How is it? Yani, what is the process that takes place in the salat that makes it that which prevents a person from evil and indecency? He says it is that the abd al-muqim laha, the worshipper who establishes the prayer, al-mutimmima li-arkaniha wa shurutiha wa khushu'iha, who completes and perfects the pillars, the arkan of the salat, and the shurut, the conditions of the salat, and the khushu' of the salat. Yani here he's referring to what? The outward aspects of the salat and the inward aspects of the salat. The arkan, yani like standing in prayer and bowing and sitting and reciting al-fatiha, and the shurut, like praying the prayer on time, facing the qibla, having tahara. The person who does all of these outward things and also the inward part, the khushu'. Yani having full, yani a state of humble submission, of consciousness and awe of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who performs the prayer in this manner, what happens to him? يَسْتَنِيرُ قَلْبُهُ. And his heart is enlightened, is lit up with light. His heart has light, it's no longer in darkness. وَيَتَطَهَّرُ فُؤَادُهُ. And his, yani his heart again is purified. And perhaps the qalb, it means here more than just fu'ad. Yani the qalb means the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit. It means all of that. It is enlightened, it's given light. And the heart is also purified by this salat that's performed in this manner. وَيَزْدَادُ إِمَانُهُ. And his iman is increased by the salat in this manner. وَتَقْوَى رَغْبَتُهُ فِي الْخَيْرِ. And his desire to do good is strengthened. Is strengthened by this salat. وَتَقِلُّ أَوْ تَنْعَدِمُ رَغْبَتُهُ فِي الشَّرِّ. And his yani desire to do evil is تَقِلُّ, it is made little, it is reduced, or it becomes non-existent by this kind of salat. Yani the heart, the soul, the mind, the spirit of the human being is given light and the heart is purified. And the iman is increased. And the desire to do good is strengthened. And the desire to do evil is reduced or made non-existent. فَبِالضُّرُورَ مُدَاوَنَتُهَا وَالْمُحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. So it is a necessity. There's no escape from it. There's no escape. That the person who, yani, is consistent, مُدَاوَمَة, is consistent in performing this prayer, وَالْمُحَافَظَ, guards and protects and preserves their prayer, عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ, in this manner, this complete, perfect prayer. There's no doubt that this type of prayer prohibits a person from indecency and evil. So, oh, how great is the affair of this salat if we were to perform it كَمَا يَنْبَغِي, in the manner that yani is befitting that it be performed. Oh, how great would be the affair of this salat, how it would affect our lives if we were to perform it in the manner that is expected of us. And this is because the salat yani prohibits a person from being busied with the dunya. And the salat creates yani al-khushu' in the heart of the believer. وَيَحْسَلْ بِسَبَبِهَا. and the person will achieve as a result of this salat, يعني بسبب الصلاة تلاوة الكتاب. As a result of this salat, they will what? They will be reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this, he said, يعني تلاوة الكتاب والوقوف على ما فيها من الوعد والوعيد والمواعظ والآداب الجميلة وذكر المسير الخلق إلى دار الثواب أو دار العقاب رغبة في الآخرة ونفرة عن الدنيا. يعني as a result of performing the salat, the person will be engaged in reciting the book of Allah, and they will come across that which is contained in it of al-wa'ad and wa'id, the promise of Allah's reward for those who do good, and the wa'id, the threat of Allah's punishment for those who commit sin. Wal-mawa'id, yani the maw'idha, yani strong exhortation that are contained in the Quran. Wal-adab al-jamila, and the beautiful yani adab, manners that a person finds in the Quran. وَذِكْرُ مَصِيرُ الْخَلْقِ, and the mention of the final destination of the creatures in the دار الثواب, the place of reward, or دار العقاب, the place of punishment. And all of this is in order to what? To make the person desirous. رَغْبَةً فِي الْآخِرَةِ. All of this, what the person comes across as a result of salat, reciting the book of Allah, coming across the promises and threats of Allah, and the strong exhortations of Allah, and the beautiful manners that Allah mentions in the Quran for the believers, and the mention of the end, yani, place, the place that a person will end up in, either the place of reward, that is the Jannah, or the place of punishment, the hellfire. All of this will encourage and make the person desirous of the Akhirah, of the Jannah, and will make a person have aversion for the dunya. Yani this will make a person be desirous of the akhirah, and they will not have a desire. They will have aversion for the dunya, because they will know the dunya is that which distracts them. Al-haakumut takathur, hatta zurtumul maqabir. Yani it is the accumulation, the person being engaged, distracted and attracted in accumulation of the things of the dunya, that cause you to forget about the akhirah until you're in the grave and it is too late. Then you will come to know. And the Shaykh says, فَكَانَتَ الصَّلَاةِ بِمَجْمُوعِهَا كَالْوَاعِذِ. So the whole of the salat, all together, the speech and the actions and the presence of heart and mind and sincerity and reflection on the ayats of Allah and the dhikr and dua, the whole of the salat is like an admonisher that prevents a person from committing indecencies and evil deeds. Then the Shaykh says, the people, in terms of yani refraining from evil and indecency, are mutafawitun. Yani some of them are on different levels. They are on varying levels. They are not equal in this. They are not equal in this. People are different. Yani in the effect of the salat on them, due to the difference in the performance of the salat. وهذا المعنى من النهي عن الفحشاء والمنكر. This meaning that we have been discussing concerning how the salat prevents a person from indecencies and evil, هو من حكمة جعل الصلوات موزعة على الأوقات من النهار والليل. This is from amongst the wisdoms, the reasons, the purpose for which the prayers have been divided in the time, throughout the times of the day and night. Not at one time, but they are divided throughout the times of the day and the night. This is one of the wisdoms why the prayers are at different times of day and night. لِيَتَجَدَّدْ الذِّكْرَ, so that the person will be reminded newly again and again. وَتَعَاقُبْ الْمَوَاعِذْ, and so that one exhortation and admonishment will come following another, not all at one time, and the person is good for a little while, and then it wears off. But rather, when it starts wearing off, another prayer comes. And when that wears off, another prayer comes, one following another. وَبِمِقْدَارِ تَقَرُّرُ ذَلِكَ تَزْدَادُ خَوَاتِرُ التَّقْوَى فِي النُّفُوسِ وَتَتَبَعَدْ النَّفْسِ مِنَ الْإِسْيَانِ. And so in accordance with the amount of repetition of this, yani this taking, the prayers taking place again and again, then the person will be increased
in the thoughts of at-taqwa, of consciousness of Allah, of piety, of righteousness. Yani of those things that will enable a person to refrain from evil and indecency, and that will encourage a person to do good. This taqwa will be the thoughts of taqwa will be increased in the nafs, in the inner part of the human being. And the nafs would then be distanced from committing sins. Hatta tasir at-taqwa malakatan laha, until at taqwa, this state of taqwa becomes an innate quality in the human being. Through what? Through salat. Naam. And through siyam. And through ibadah in general. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Yani fasting has been prescribed for those before you, so that you will achieve at-taqwa. So salat creates in the human being this innate quality of taqwa, just as siyam does, just as ibadah does. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran, to worship Him, so that you may achieve at-taqwa. وراء ذلك خاصية عظيمة جعلها الله في الصلاة يكون بها تيسير الانتهاء عن الفحشاء والمنكر. And behind this, yani after the creation of this innate quality of taqwa in the inner being of the human being, behind this there is a great, tremendous, yani special quality that Allah has placed in the salat. In the salat. That's why salat is special in this matter, and due to it, it will become easy for a person to refrain from indecency and evil. So the Shaykh, he says that behind this, an innate quality of at-taqwa that is created from the performance of this type of salat, he said behind this is a special quality or characteristic that Allah has placed in the salat, due to which it is made easy for the person to refrain from indecency and evil. And it's made easy. Not like some people, they can't resist. They can't control themselves. But there's something in the salat that is special to the salat that enables the person to refrain from indecency and evil easily due to the salat. And there's no doubt that this quality of taqwa is not only in the salat, but it is especially in the salat. It is not only in the siyam. Rather, it is in every act of worship. In every act of worship, yani that a person does sincerely for the sake of Allah in accordance with the Sharia and the Sunnah, it will indeed, yani, enable them to attain this quality of a taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I think in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. All people, all people, worship, it's a command. اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Worship your Lord who created you and those before you, that you may attain at-taqwa. Through what? Through ibadah. Through ibadah. And it is the taqwa that is contained in worship, and especially in the salat, that enables a person to refrain from evil and indecency. And finally, the Shaykh closes by mentioning the hadith reported by Al-Imam Ahmed on the authority of Abu Hurairah. And this is a critical hadith for every person, yani every Muslim, to reflect upon and to benefit from. To reflect upon and to benefit from. A very short hadith. A very short hadith in which Imam Ahmed narrates from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. A man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالَ. And he said, إِنَّ فُلَانًا يُصَلِّ بِاللَّيْلِ فَإِذَا أَصْبَحَ السَّرَقَ. Yani indeed, so and so, he prays in the night, but when morning comes, he steals. How many of us have found ourselves, how many of us have found ourselves performing salat? Maybe even getting up in the night and performing salat, and in the morning we still go out and we steal, or we lie, or we cheat, or we abuse someone. We commit sins. Kulli bani Adam khata'un. Every human being is committing sins, even though you're praying. But it is the prayer that enables a person, that strengthens a person, and gives them the ability to refrain from those things. So if a person finds that they are praying in the night, or they are praying in the day, that they are worshipping Allah and they are still committing sins, don't be frustrated. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to that man, so-and-so is praying in the night, and he gets up in the morning and steals. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّهُ سَيَنْهَاهُ مَا تَقُولُ.
indeed, that which you are saying, yani he's praying in the night, will, yani eventually, it will prevent him. It will. It does that. That's a fact. Don't doubt it. This hadith is put in Imam Ahmad, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih. And then the Shaykh mentions another hadith that many of the scholars mention in the books of Tafsir and in other places. It's reported by Tabarani and Kabir and others. And Shaykh al-Albani said in Al-Da'ifa, Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa, that it is batil. I want to say that from the beginning. Because in the books of Tafsir, many times they don't mention the grade of the hadith. Shaykh al-Albani said that it is batil. And before him, many of the scholars like Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah also rejected this hadith. And it's reported that kullu salatin lam tanha an al-fahshai wal-munkar lam yazdad sahibuha min Allahi illa bu'dan. And either every salat that does not prevent the person who performs it from indecency and evil, then this salat only increases that person who performs it in distancing themselves from Allah. Yani a salat that makes a person distance from Allah. قَدْ سُعِلَ عَنْهُ Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked about this hadith. Rahimahullah, he said, فَأَجَابَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لَيْسَ بِثَابِتِ This hadith is not confirmed. It is not authentic. It's not authentic. Some people imagine that if your prayer is not stopping you from committing sins, then don't keep praying, because this is making you more distant from Allah. Rather, keep praying, because the Prophet ﷺ said, سَيَنْهَاهُ مَا تَقُولُ That what you are saying, his praying, will eventually stop him from committing the stealing or whatever he's doing. Don't believe this nonsense that prayer makes a person distance from Allah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, it's not confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ, لَكِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Rather, the salat prohibits a person from indecency and evil. كَمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ As Allah has mentioned in His book. Yani Allah said that salat prevents a person from indecency and evil. Naam, it doesn't distance a person from Allah. Rather, it does prevent a person from indecency and evil. وَبِكُلِّ حَالٍ فَالصَّلَاةِ لَا تَزِيدُ صَاحِبُهَا بُعْدًا In any case, we say that the salat does not increase a person in becoming distant from Allah, بَلْ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي خَيْرٌ مِنَ الَّذِي لَا يُصَلِّي وَأَقْرَبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ فَاسِخًا Rather, we say that the person who prays is better than the person who doesn't pray any day. And he is nearer to Allah than the person who doesn't pray any day, even if that one who's praying is a fasiq. Even if he's a sinner, he's better than the person who's not praying. And he's nearer to Allah. Why should a person stop praying? Just because their manner of the performance of the prayer hasn't yet stopped them from their evil. Hasn't yet. وَلَكِنْ قَالَ Ibn Abbas. And the explanation of this is why? Ibn Abbas said, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنْ صَلَاتِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَقَلْتَ مِنْهَا You will not have anything from your salat except that which you comprehend of it, that which you grasp of the salat. So the fact of the salat yani not being as effective as it could be is because you haven't given yourself over to it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَنْصَرِفُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ وَلَمْ يُقْتَبْ لَهُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا نِصْفُهَا إِلَّا ثُلُثُهَا إِلَّا رُبُعَهَا حَتَّى قَالَ إِلَّا عُشْرُهَا And in another narration of the hadith, indeed the worshipper may leave from his salat and will not have written for him of that salat except a half of it. Or a third of it, or a fourth of it, until he said, except a tenth of it. Meaning that the salat does prevent a person from indecency and evil. There's no doubt about it. And the one who prays is better than the one who doesn't pray and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they are committing sins. Because the person will not get out of the prayer except that which they comprehend of it, except that which they perform properly and with presence of heart and mind and khushu' and sincerity. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, a person will perform prayer and nothing will be written for him from that prayer except a half of it, or a third of it, or a tenth of it, and so on. For indeed, the salat, if a person performs it as we have been commanded to perform it, it will prevent him from indecency and evil. And if it doesn't prevent him from indecency and evil, this is an indication that he has failed to fulfill its rights. That he has failed. تَضْعِيْهِهِ لِحُقُوقِهَا. He has wasted, he has lost, he has not fulfilled its rights. He hasn't performed the prayer outwardly and inwardly the way it is supposed to be. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُطِيعًا. Yani, if a person performs the prayer and it doesn't prevent him from indecency and evil, this is an indication that he hasn't performed the prayer the way it's supposed to be performed. Even though, وَإِنْ كَانَ مُطِيعًا, even though he is obedient in performing the prayer, but he's not performing it the way it's supposed to be performed. وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى. And the Shaykh closes with this ayah from the Quran, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Yani from Surah Maryam. And I didn't note the number of this ayah, but anyway, it's in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, and we came across this ayah before, that some of the people, they left behind them, yani offspring, who? أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Naam. 1958 or 59. Not the year 1958 or 59. Chapter 19, ayah 58 or 59. Yani they left behind those who adaw as-salat. They wasted the salat. They lost it. They abandoned it. They didn't perform it with its due. Wa ida'atuha. And the wasting of the salat means tafreet fi wajibatiha wa in kana yusalliha. Wallahu alam. That is, that the person has fallen short in its obligatory duties, even though that person is performing the prayer, but they have fallen short in its wajibat. And we say even more important than that, they have fallen short in that which is the core of the salat, yani that which is the most important part of the salat, and that is the inner side of the salat, yani the khushu' of the salat. They have fallen short in this, yani they have fallen short in the presence of heart and mind, and remind, they have fallen short in calling to mind their being in the presence of Allah and being nearness to near to Allah and reflecting upon the that which is recited in the salat, the Quran, and reflecting upon the dhikr and dua. They have fallen short in these things. And Ibn Kathir, in his explanation of this ayat, actually mentioned three possible meanings of this ayat. One of them is that the person who has yani wasted the salat, meaning they used to perform it late, delaying the salat late, most of the time or all of the time, not performing the prayer on time. This is one of the meanings of the person who will da'a salat, that they don't perform it on time. And another meaning of it is this, that they don't fulfill its rights, the obligatory duties and the arkan and the wajibat and the shurut of the salat. And another meaning that he said of adaw salat, idaatu salat, it means that the person performs the salat, making bowing, ruku, standing, everything, but without al-khushu'a, without a tadabbur, reflection and contemplation on the meaning of what is happening in that salat. Wallahu alam, and Allah knows best. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Inshallah, we have a couple of minutes before the Iqama. Somebody has a question about what we discussed tonight. Question about what we discussed tonight. Naam, Adam.
So for recitation of Salatul Salat.
Naam.
Does that mean that the sabr, you have to have sabr to make salat, and the salat make gives you sabr, like does that?
These are two separate things. Each of them have their meaning. Yani seeking assistance, the sabr was salat, means seeking assistance by sabr, and also seeking assistance through salat. And each of them has its role. Naam. But there's no doubt a connection between them. There's no doubt. Because sabr, from the aspects that the scholars of Sunnah say sabr, is sabr ala ta'atillah. Being patient with obedience to Allah. And salat is obedience to Allah. So a person has to have sabr, right? In order to do the acts of obedience. Naam. So it's connected, no doubt. Naam. The three types of sabr, they said that it is sabr ala ta'atillah. Yani having patience, yani controlling oneself to enable one to fulfill the acts of obedience to Allah. وَصَبْرْ عَنْ مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ. Yani having patience, restraining oneself from committing acts of disobedience. And صَبْرْ عَلَى أَقْدَارِ اللَّهِ الْمُعْلِمَةِ. Yani having patience with the things that Allah has decreed, yani which are distasteful, that are painful, the calamities and afflictions and hardships and difficulties, sickness or whatever that a person is subjected to. That these, a person has to have sabr in these three areas. Naam. Any other question? Naam. Naam. The man who was stealing, did he have to go through any punishment? Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Allahu a'lam. But there's punishment for stealing, right? It depends on what the person has stolen. Yani, did they steal something that's worth 5 cents or $5 million? And we know today that the people who steal $5 million, they don't get punished, right? But the person who steals $5, they go to jail. They give them 25 years to life. Because he stole $5. Because he sold something illegal. But the people who are the real criminals, they don't get punished. But in Islam, it's not like that. There's justice. But there's, yani, punishment for crimes according to the crime. According to the crime. So what did the person used to steal? We don't know. And we don't know if he was punished. Or maybe, yani, Allah forgave him. Because, yani, Allah is forgiving, right? The man was, after all, right, trying. He was getting up in the night praying. That goes to his credit. He wasn't just stealing, but he was trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am, akhi.
The qualities of Salah, were they one or two or three? Did you name them? Was there a number of them, or you just named them?
The qualities, meaning?
Yeah, the qualities of Salah, which labels a person to refrain, stuff like that. Did you have numbers, or you just talked about them?
No, I mean, there are different things that enable a person to refrain. Yani, to refrain from evil and indecency?
Yes, and to attain, and also the Salah also is to attain taqwa. That's one of the qualities, right?
Naam, this is one of the things that a person achieves through a Salat. But of course, yani, the process of this, yani, we mentioned a number of things.
Right.
A number of things. Yani, from amongst them is that the person, yani, has to, that what happens in the prayer is that a person is given light. The person is given light. So this is one of the things that helps the person. When you have light, you see. You see your way. You're not lost in darkness. You know, the heart is purified. The purification of the heart is important for a person to be able to do good. The heart is corrupted, it's poisoned, it's sick. Then it's not going to help you, right? And also, we mentioned also that what? The increase of iman. Of course, this is one of the key things that happens in Salat. And we said that increase of iman is through many things. From amongst them is doing good deeds. And from the greatest of all deeds that a person does in this world, of acts of obedience, is the most important of them is salat. It's the greatest of all acts of obedience. So this indeed for sure is a great force of increase of iman. And all of this, yani, develops in the person those things like, yani, the desire to do good and the aversion for doing evil and so on.
طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك